Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Bechoros Lamed Vav, Bechoros 36a, pagination is 71. We'll start from the second line, Iba'i Lahu, with the question of the Gemara. And the question is regarding a case of Bechor, a firstborn kosher animal, that is supposed to be brought as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, but in our time cannot be because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And we're waiting for it to get a mum, a blemish. Now the pasuk says, "Kol mum lo yiyebo." We're not allowed to inflict a blemish and then just like easy, well, now it has a blemish, so it's pasul for the Beis HaMikdash, so now we can shecht it for regular meat. You can't do that. We're waiting for it to get a blemish. And therefore, on the previous page, we explored the concept of testimony that the wound occurred naturally and was not inflicted by a human, humanly inflicted. We need testimony to that effect, but it's a very light type of testimony. It does not require the same diligence to kosher witnesses that some other types of testimony require. And so, the Gemara asks, Ibailuhu, they had the question, Eid mi pi eid mahu le'edus bechor. What is the rule regarding someone testifying that he heard from a different witness this information? Rav Asi Osar, Rav Asi says that's not good enough, and we're still waiting to find out how this mum came about, if it's one that could have been humanly inflicted, and if not, we're going to be waiting for another mum. Rav Ashi Shari, and Rav Ashi allows Eid Mi Pi Eid, one person testifying from another. Now, just to take a step back over here, what kind of mum could have been humanly inflicted? Well, something that has a cut. Could be that the animal cut itself on its lip. It could have cut itself. Or it could be that somebody intentionally did this in order to invalidate it from the Beis HaMikdash and therefore be able to do something with it in our time. Something that's not humanly inflicted is if it has a significant blemish in its body, its eyes, just the way it's born, it has a blemish. That's not something that occurred later. So we have a firstborn animal. It's a wound, a mum, that could have been humanly inflicted. And the best testimony that we can put on the table is Eid Mi Pi Eid, one witness from another. And that's a machlokas, Rav Asi and Rav Ashi. Amalei Rav Asi l'Rav Ashi, Rav Asi who forbade it, said to Rav Ashi who allowed it, V'altana Devei Menashe, we have a tradition from the Beis Medrash of Menashe. Ein Eid Mi Pi Eid kosher ela l'Eidus ha'isha. A witness from a witness is only kosher for testimony of a woman. Says Rashi, at this moment, we understand this to mean testimony for a woman in the famous case that a woman needs testimony. That's the case where her husband disappeared, and we want to obtain testimony that the husband is dead so that she can remarry. That's the case where Eid Mi Pi Eid would work. It's Le'edus Ha'isha, for testimony for the benefit of a woman. Tani, Rav Ashi responds, no, you have to learn, you have to understand that statement. Ela Le'edus She'ha'isha Kishera La Bilvad. It's not limiting Eid Mi Pi Eid only to the case of Aguna. It's including any case that a woman would be kosher for testimony. Now, normally, a woman is not kosher for testimony. if we're looking for tamei hamitzvos to add flavor here and understanding, the simple logic that's given is that if she was eligible to give testimony, she would have to give testimony. And we don't put a woman in that position that she has to give testimony. And therefore, being that privilege and responsibility go together in Judaism, so she's not kosher for edus. There are other explanations we discussed on the topic of dait and kalos, that a woman can intuitively reach the truth, but that doesn't work for us in a legal system. We can't work on the intuition as our primary method of verification. It's a testimony. In any case, there are certain types of simple verifications, what we might call light testimony, which a woman is acceptable to give. And what was being said over here is if you're talking about those types of testimony, so then aid me pi aid, a witness from the words of a witness, would also work. The Gemara concludes the topic by saying, Rav Yemar ichshir aid mi pi aid bebechar. Rav Yemar allowed witness from witness. Kare alei merimar yemar shari buchra. And merimar commented in a disparaging manner, Yemar is the one who allows bechorim. It's a disparaging remark. That, in other words, he didn't hold of such a testimony. Ve'ilchasa, but we hold eid mi pi eid kosher le'edus bechor. A witness from a witness is kosher by the testimony of a bechor, just to verify that the wound that is appearing was not inflicted by the owner with intent. Let's skip down to another piece of Gemara related to this concern that an owner might inflict a wound, counting up from the wide lines. I think it's 7 or 8 lines at the end of a line. Rabbi Tzadok, who was a Kohen, Havale Buchra, he had a Bechor, and he's waiting for a mum. Ramal Asairi Bisali, he gave the animal barley in a basket, and the basket apparently was made in a way that had sharp edges, and Bahadi de Ka'achil Ivza Sifse, while it was eating, its lip got cut in a way that, in the sensitivity to the Beis HaMikdash, that's considered a mum. Also, l'kamed Rabbi Yeshua, he came to Rabbi Yeshua, Amalei kolom chilaknu ben chaver la'ama aretz. Is there any distinction between a Talmud Chacham and someone who's less than diligent in halacha? In other words, he was wondering that because he's a Talmud Chacham and he never intended to cause the lip to get damaged, he never intended through this basket to cause this problem, and he never would. He's a Talmud Chacham. He has reverence for diktukei halacha, for the details of halacha. Maybe this imposition that even though there's a mum, we require witnesses to tell us how it got there. Maybe that was only made regarding an Am HaAretz who's not diligent in halacha and would be tempted to do this. But for me, a chaver, if I know that I didn't intend to do it, maybe this mum will allow the animal to be shecht and processed and I don't have to keep waiting. Amala Rabbi Yeshua, hey, Rabbi Yeshua answered, yes, there's such a distinction. And if a Kohen Chaver, a Talmud Chacham, is the owner, and it happened without his intent, then it would be permitted. Also, l'kamed Rabbi Gamliel, so he proceeded and asked the same shaila to Rabbi Gamliel. Amalei chilakdu ben chaver la'ama aretz. Is there a distinction between the Talmud Chacham and the Am HaAretz? Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, lo. And Rabbi Gamliel told him, no. Amalei, so he said to him, Rabbi Yeshua, Amalei hein. Rabbi Yeshua said, there is such a distinction. Amalei, so Rabbi Gamliel told him, hamtein, wait, at sheyalu ba'alei teresin leveis hamedrash, until the people with the shields come to the Beis Medrash. So the concept of shields is that during a halachic debate, it could get hot, it could get heavy, and people can, so to speak, throw darts at each other, so to speak, in terms of how sharp they could be verbally with one another, bringing proofs back and forth to seek the truth. Some people visit a Beis Medrash and they're astounded at the way chavrusas are animated one at the other. They almost think it's going to come to blows, but it doesn't, because it's simply seeking Torah. But you have to figuratively hold a shield, otherwise you get hurt. You get insulted. He's screaming at me. So these are people who have a distinctive feature about them. They have shields, so to speak, emotionally. They're able to engage each other in debate and not take it personally, be strong about it, such that by the time the debate, which may be very heated, is over, they're na'asim ohavim zelozeh, they're beloved to one another. We find Rabbi Yochanan, for example, when Reish Lakish passed away, was looking for a chavrusa, and they got him a chavrusa that proved everything that he said to be correct. He said, Reish Lakish used to ask me questions. He tried to uproot what I said, challenge it. That's Baalei Tereisin, people with shields, they're able to handle that. Kevet Shenichnusu LeBeis HaMedrash, when people came to the Beis Medrash, like Rabbi Gamliel indicated, he was waiting for Amar HaShoal V'Shoal, the person asking asked. Rabbi Gamliel made basically a standoff of it and insisted that Rabbi Yeshua say his piece. And Rabbi Yeshua opted for a very peaceful interaction. For whatever reason, we know that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, two great leaders of the generation, had a certain degree of standoff with one another, how it would be handled. We find it in the other Gemaras. In any case, Rabbi Yeshua did not stand on his position in public. And indeed, we find in Halacha, Siman Shin Yudalit, Sif Aleph, Kohanim, Chashudim La'atel Mum B'Bechor, we're worried about Kohanim putting a mum in a bechor, afilu hu chacham v'yoshev b'yeshiva, even if he's a great person, a Talmud chacham, we're concerned and we require testimony that there was nothing done improperly to cause the blemish. Otherwise, we would have to wait for other verification, another mum, in order to permit the bechor. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.